Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Good to see your faces out there today. Praise the Lord in this nice wintry day. If you know me, you know that I'm just a little bit excited. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I woke up with Charlie Brown Christmas on my heart. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love the first, especially the first few snows, but the first few months of snow. I love it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I've been preparing for it for some time now. Not quite ready for it, you know, at home and stuff. And probably most of us aren't, but we get in line with it. Praise the Lord. We always have next year. We know warm weather will come around again, but the snow is so pretty, isn't it? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I'm not even going to say that's free because it just is what it is. Hallelujah. That's just my opinion. Praise the Lord. And so if you don't like it, well, we love you anyways. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I also want to, it was on my heart as we were here, you know, before we get into the message. You know, my wife was talking about inviting people to church and reaching out to people, you know, and really we always look at it like this, is the most important to do is, the thing to do is invest in people. The most important investment you can make is in other people. You know, you never know that thing, you never know what they're thinking or what they're dealing with or what they're waiting for at that moment or what they're seeking God on in that moment. And so you might be the answer by stepping out and reaching somebody, which is not a bad thing. But I just remember this. God reminded me of this when she was talking, that, you know, he always showed me by using me. And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of times throughout my life when I was going through some of the hardest things in my life or going through moments, hard moments, that God would often send me somebody, praise the Lord, he would often send me somebody that needed something. And then I would find myself by default just ministering to them, amen? And what I realized in doing that is that when I ministered to them, that my problem became less. And I don't just mean like this, like, you know, the thought of it became less or whatever. No, I mean the actual, the problem subsided. It started to wane and it didn't bother me so much anymore. And, you know, the thing you have to understand about that is that's how God's designed us. That is, you know, the Bible tells us in Job that as Job prayed for his friends, that God restored his losses. And so often the trial is to try to get us distracted from doing the work of the Lord when that's the answer to our the problem we're facing. And so we can sit around and stew about things, or we can decide to step out in faith and do what the Word says, and it'll change us. But God always showed me, taught, you know, God will train you through life if you listen to Him, amen? And He trained me by that, and it got me to understand that. And so I realized early on that, everything that's going on is much bigger than I am, amen? And if it's much bigger than I am, and God's orchestrating things, and He's doing great and wonderful things, if all that's much bigger than I am, then my little problem is nothing for God to fix. Amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Today's message is called Living Out of Emotions. Glory to God. And we're going to do something a little bit differently. We're trying something a little bit differently. You know, Pastor Nancy Dufresne recently, she had a bunch of services around us. We were in a bunch of them. Amen. But she did a mentoring service. And one of the things she said in there was she brought up she said, pastors, you can have the scriptures on the screen if you want. But she said, so what you're going to do is, she said, get ready for people to stop bringing their Bibles to church. And this is a problem that I've noticed over the years, that there's different times where people just get used to not bringing Bibles to church. And again, I'm not looking around to see who's got Bibles and not right now. But I have noticed over the years. And this is what I want to say to you. This is our lifeline to God. This is our connection to God. Amen. Of course, we know the Spirit is, but the Spirit only works according to the Word. And so if we don't get used to using this, we'll never get used to victory because we'll never have it. You cannot have victory in Christ without a Bible. That means somebody who's not accustomed to their Bible, not acquainted to their Bible, you can't find anything in your Bible if you know where nothing. Now, if you're new, praise the Lord. Listen, you know, you have time to grow. We give you space. And we always say this, if you don't have a Bible and you need a Bible, come see us. We'll make sure you get one. But your Bible is your most important thing. This is what seals your victory. This is the document that tells you what you get, what you got, praise the Lord, and how you win. Amen? So if you don't know this, or if you're not accustomed to this, you will never have it. You cannot win without this. Amen? I'm not saying just without hearing it. Hearing it's important. But it's important that you read it. It's important that we get into it. It's important that we know it. Amen? The Word actually calls us our sword. And we know that any good soldier would be foolish for a soldier to go to war without a weapon, wouldn't it? And this is the only weapon that God has given you. This is the weapon He's given you. So if you don't use this, amen, if you don't learn how to use this the way that it's supposed to be used, then you will never win. You will never be victorious. You'll never defeat. You'll have the devil come at you. He will attack you, and you are basically giving him license to do that. And so what we've decided is that we are no longer going to put the scriptures up on the screen, that we're going to keep them here. Praise the Lord. If you have questions afterwards, I know sometimes, like my Aunt Jean, you know, she expressed to me, and it's perfect. I understand exactly what she's saying. She's like, you know, I have a different version, and I like to see it. She's understood. She wasn't questioning us, but she was just saying, you know, she was just bringing that point up, and I know exactly what she's saying, you know, because I've gone through that too. But the great thing is if we take notes, is that we can take that home, and we can relook at it, right? You know, and like she said, I take notes. Praise the Lord. And so that's a person who wants all that they can get out of the Word. Amen. Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. And we put the messages online. So you're like, what was that scripture again? Or you can come up to me afterwards and say, hey, Pastor, what was that scripture you said again? And what version or whatever? And I'd be happy to do that. That's what we thrive and we rejoice at being able to get in the Word and use the Word. Amen. That's why I'm never ashamed of questions or shun questions, I should say. Amen. Praise the Lord. So today's message is called Living Out of Emotions. We are going to be preaching on this message is important for every single one of us. But this is just something, you know, my pastor taught me that when you notice something is going around in the church, it's time to start preaching on it. Amen. And one of the things that I've noticed is going around in this church is a lot of emotional behavior. Praise the Lord. Now, emotions are not a bad thing. Emotions are God-given. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when I say living out of emotions, what I mean is this. I mean, are we living out of emotions or by our emotions? Is that our emotions dictating our steps and our walk in life, the things that we do, especially major decisions, but even minor decisions? Are emotions controlling us? Emotions were never meant to control you. In fact, if emotions are controlling you, it is no different. Listen to me. It's no different than if you were addicted to drugs. It is just as much a sin. If emotions are controlling you, it is no different than if you were if you're out drinking. It's no different. Out fornicating, emotions are the same. They're at the same level because it's not. Listen, you take like fornication for example. You know, sexual relations are wonderful. God has given them in the right context. But how many know outside of the right context it can send people to hell? You know, emotions can take people out of the will of God faster than anything, and I have seen it happen over and over. I have been a person who has been controlled by my emotions. Praise the Lord. I have to fight against my emotions all the time. Why? Because I'm human. Emotions were given to us by God to help us experience life and enjoy life, but never to lead us. If they lead us, they will lead us to one place, and that's destruction. What Satan does is he takes whatever is God and he manipulates it to try to make it work against us. That's what he does. That's why everything you see, it's an attack of what is important to God. And so we have to determine, are we going to live in victory or are we not? Praise the Lord. And so I'm just going to warn you right up front. There will be, because I'm preaching on something like emotions, there will be moments when you might get emotional. There might be moments where you say, and the emotions are, remember, emotions are a lot of things. Just because I say you get emotional doesn't mean you're going to get sad. Maybe you're going to get mad. That's an emotion. Praise the Lord. If anger can control you, praise the Lord. Let me say it this way. How do you know if you're living out of emotions? Basically, it's guiding your decisions, right? Praise the Lord. So in other words, if one day you know what emotions are, one day you're happy, one day you're sad. We all go through those days. I'm not saying that if you go through those days that you're somehow evil or out of the plan of God or something like that. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is if those emotions control your outcome, then you're stepping into that place of sinning. And that's really what it is. Jesus told us in Matthew 6, he told us not to worry. Praise the Lord. Do not worry about anything. Why did he tell us to do that? Because worry is a sin. Amen. So if you are letting emotions guide you, what are emotions? One day you're happy, one day you're sad. Well, if that changes the course of your whole, like if you make major decisions because today you're sad or today you're angry, guess what? You're going to find yourself in a whole heap of trouble. We don't make decisions, but that's why the world is always in a whole heap of trouble because they make all their decisions based on emotions. Unforgiveness is an emotion. Why? Because you're sad or mad that somebody hurt you. Get over it. Why? Because Jesus did. Jesus got over it, so you get over it. You say, well, Pastor, that's you don't understand. Listen, I understand, but this is what I'm going to tell you. The result of not getting over it is you being kept down and never walking in victory. Do you want to be victorious in life? Do you want to defeat the attacks? Or do you want to stay right where you're at? If you want to stay right where you're at, then by all means, stay emotional. But if you don't, you have to rise above that, amen? We have to learn that we can't make... Listen, there are days when people come up and say something to me, and I get angry, and I want to punch them, amen? What keeps me from punching them? The fact that my emotions don't control me, amen? I let the Word guide me. The Word says, don't punch your neighbor. Praise the Lord. I'm pretty sure it says something like that, amen, if it doesn't say that exactly. Glory to God. And so we know. I can't just go punch the person that made me mad. I got love on them, amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Do you know, once I had a gentleman, I was at a coffee shop, and I used to like to spout off, and a lot of times I would just spout off because I was newly born again, and I was just trying to live. I was really intense about it, and I remember being at this coffee shop, and I had everybody. If you go to a coffee shop, a lot of times the people that generally hang out and coffee, not everybody, but a lot of people that hang out in a lot of coffee shops generally don't like the flow that we are in, amen, which is funny because I love hanging out at coffee shops, and yet there I am, praise the Lord. But I would find myself getting into conversations, you know, and these conversations, because of the nature of them, would often get heated because, well, you know, people don't like to hear about sin and stuff like that and all those other things. Not that I don't go to coffee shops and tell everybody about their sin. Let's just get that out. But I was getting in a good conversation, good coffee shop conversation, and there was this man who was sitting there, and he just hated Christianity. Oh, he hated it. And he just got vile and nasty, and he was just, I mean, lashing out. And you could see the devil in his face when he was yelling at me, you know. And so I hated him after that. Praise the Lord. I hated, I pretended like I liked him. I pretended like I loved him because, you know, that's what Christians are supposed to do. But I didn't enter into that. Well, you know, it was like sometime later, maybe a few years ago, maybe about a year later, I hadn't seen him in a while, and I was at the coffee shop, and I showed up, and a friend of mine at the coffee shop, Crazy Carl, praise the Lord, Crazy Carl said to me, that's what we called him, Crazy Carl. That's, Crazy Carl said to me, he's like, Jeff, did you hear about so-and-so? And I was like, no, what? You know, I'm interested. What's going on? He's like, he's one of them born-again Christians now. I'm like, no. No, there's no way. This guy railed against my faith. This guy said there's no, but see, he was searching. Praise the Lord. And all it took is one person to reach him. And that's really what it was. One person reached him. And she actually, guess what? She goes to a family church. Well, praise the Lord. That one, and we ended up getting connected later on. And it was like, praise God, hallelujah. And got him saved, amen. What a wonderful thing, amen. But see, if we live by emotions, we'd never reach people like that. We'd never break through, and the enemy always wins. And so we don't want to do it. Emotions are meant to experience life, not to guide it. Praise the Lord. Living by emotion always, always, always leads to trouble because emotions change with the wind. Amen? Driving down the road, you're really happy. Everything's fine. Good day, started off great. All of a sudden, somebody cuts you off, pulls out in front of you, and drives 15 miles under the speed limit. Happens to me every day on 394. Every single day. I'm telling you without fail. I think God's helping. Angels are probably saying, here, he's got to get a little bit more of this. Praise the Lord. What happens? All of a sudden, I'm on the bumper, and I just want to ram them off the road. And you know the feeling, right? Praise the Lord. And if you've never been there, well, God bless you. You're a greater person than I am. But you know exactly. You know, 1 second you're fine, the next second you are enraged. Amen. Yeah. Or how about this? You're driving down the street and everything's normal, and all of a sudden a school bus down the road, and it's getting out of school time. A school bus down the road pulls out in front of you. What do you do? Oh no, because you know it's coming. You know, you got to wait. You know, praise the Lord. Glory to God. They're just taking our kids, but you got a place to be, you know. Emotions, if they guide you, you can just see in those silly examples. But, you know, there's people that get road rage so bad that they literally do run people off the road. And it comes on that quick. And why does it? Because people are led by emotions. Amen. God's people are not meant to be led by emotions. Did you set that? You said it too late. You got to set it now. It starts now. Praise the Lord. Matthew 5:8. Glory to God. Matthew 5, 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are, I just looked up there for it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall, that's Matthew 5, 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The word blessed, to be blessed is literally to be fortunate or well off. The Amplified version says it this way. This is what blessed is in the Amplified. This is how it explains it. Happy, enviable, fortunate, and spiritually prosperous. Possessing the happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of his grace. Praise the Lord. Especially conditioned by the revelation of his grace. So we see what blessed is. So blessed means that you are fortunate, you are prosperous, that everything is working right. This is what blessed is. It's not just, I'm happy today, so I'm blessed. You know, we see out there and people, Christians, a lot of times in social media and stuff, they'll use a hashtag blessed because the sun's shining on you. That's great, but that's not what blessed is. Somebody came up to you and gave you $10. Hashtag blessed. Hallelujah. What is that? That's good, but that's not what God's blessing is. Praise the Lord. God's blessing means you're walking through life with victory. It means you're walking through life, and there ain't not just one person coming up and giving you money, but everybody comes up to you and gives you money. It doesn't just mean that you're walking through life and you kind of stumble through. No, it means you walk through life and you got answers for your life and you got direction and you know where to go and you know how to do it. And everything, the Bible says that everything that the man touches prospers, hallelujah, because he follows God. This is what blessed is. Everything I decide to do, it prospers because I'm a child of God. That's what blessed is, hallelujah. So blessed, you know, all this stuff, great. It's great to have t-shirts to say blessed on it. It's great to use the hashtag blessed if that's what you got to do. Listen, I'm not coming down on any of that stuff, but I'm just telling you that we have to understand that being blessed is so much more than that. It's enviable. What's enviable? When you look at other people and you say, man, I wish I had what they had, that's envy. People look at you. When you're blessed, people look at you and say, man, I wish I had what that guy had. Man, I wish I had what that gal had. Man, they're blessed. They're full. It seems like everything they do works out. Yes, because they're a child of God. That's what blessed is. Emotions will keep you out of being blessed. Truly blessed. Hallelujah. It says blessed. Now, that's just the first part of it. Blessed are the pure in heart. Praise God. Hallelujah. So I get in and I want to break this apart, right? And I want to get into the meat of the message. I want to find out, this is the scripture that God led me to, so I figure I got to get in there and find out what God's saying to me, amen? So I can tell you what God's saying to you. Praise the Lord. So this is what God's saying. Pure means free from every, now this is the word it used, admixture of what is false. Now I can tell you in my life, I have never heard that word admixture before. Maybe you know it well, but I had never heard it. Admixture, what is that? I mean, I kind of look at it and kind of figure it out, but I want to see what admixture is, right? Praise the Lord. And so I look it up. Amen. The word admixture means something mixed with something else, typically as a minor ingredient. I don't know, where are we going with this, right? This is what pure means, okay? It's something mixed with some, or it's not, it's something that's opposite of something, not mixed with something else, typically as a minor ingredient. When we become Christians, we become pure. We become pure in heart. God washes us. He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. But see, what happens is sometimes we bring in things with us, don't we? Sometimes we bring in struggles. Sometimes we bring in ideas. Sometimes we bring in things from our past that don't necessarily line up with the word, and we mix it in. Just a little bit, but we mix it in. What's that do? It keeps you from being pure. It keeps you from being, the Bible says that blessed are the pure in heart. Now what that means is it doesn't mean that God's withholding his blessing because you're not pure. What it means is, see, when something is pure, it's worth more. When something is pure, it's valuable. There's something to it. You know, if you got pure gold, it's worth so much more than 10 karat gold. You know, if you had 24 karat gold, it's so much more expensive and so much more valuable. Amen. The same thing is you, because the way that God has set things work spiritually is that as we mix in the right things, it makes us pure and more pure and more pure, and then the blessing of God flows in our life. Amen? I said it flows in our life. Who doesn't want the blessing of God to flow in their life? Just two people in the front row? I mean, come on. Do we want the blessing of God to flow in our lives? Listen, we have to decide, what do we want? And when we decide what we want, let's stop being Americans for 2 seconds and decide that we're going to go after it with everything we got, because that's really what America, well, that's be what Americans really should be. Amen? Not the Americans are us wishy-washy, well, because we got everything handed to us all the time, everywhere. We have such easy access to everything. So now we're going to lay down the blessing of God. Now we're going to be lesser people. Come on. We need to be like the, we need to be continually the greatest generation, not looking backward at a generation who actually built this country and look at them and say, man, we can't do any of that. For God's sakes, there's people in this country, they need to wake up. There's Christians that need to wake up and see what God wants to do, good things in their lives, but it is not apart from what they do. You cannot have what God has for you apart from what you do. What you do, and only what you do, determines how much of that blessed life you get. I said, what you do, what you do, what you do. I'm doing the praise the Lord. What you all do determines how much of this you get. Religion has taught us for years that God is withholding. Religion has taught us for years that God is mad. God ain't mad. He just wants his children to do what he says so he can get them blessed. Religious mindset will keep you out of. God is not withholding from you. He is withholding no good thing from those who walk uprightly. The Bible tells us that. What does that mean? It means he withholds no good thing from those who walk uprightly. So why do I say all this in the thing about emotions? A person who lives and is guided by their emotions cannot. I said cannot. They will not. It is absolutely impossible for them to walk uprightly. They cannot walk pleasing to God because God did not tell them to live by their emotions. He told them to live by the word. Live by the word. Live by the word. You let the word change you. You let the word be your food. You let the word be your guide. And when you do that, hallelujah, you live blessed. There is no mountain before you that cannot be conquered. The only reason something overcomes a Christian is because they allow that thing to overcome them. Listen, I get that we have hard times. I have hard times. There are times when I get up to that mountain. Yes, and there's times when I get up to that mountain. There was some recently. I got up to the mountain, and I didn't want to keep going. I didn't want to push through, but I didn't have a choice because I got too much riding on this, hallelujah. I look at this front row, and I think, dear Jesus, I can't go backwards. If I go backwards, then they go backwards, and you go backwards, and we all lose, and I can't let that happen. In fact, not only can I not let that happen, I will not let that happen. I am not going to let an emotional fit in my head control where we're going. I think you're all happy about that, but you're not going to either. We're going to walk this thing out, praise the Lord. We're going to walk in victory because that's what God has told us to do. Now listen, when emotions come, there's sometimes that we'll go through things where emotions come and it just feels like you can't control it. What do? You turn it back to God. You start looking to him and you start praising him and you start talking about his goodness. And it may not leave you instantly, but that doesn't matter. You don't give up. And the reason you don't give up is because you know one thing, that if you give up, the end is right after that. Because if you give up, there's nothing more after that. If I stop today, listen, what keeps me going is the fact that I know that if I don't, the thing that drove me into the church, the thing that drove me to God was getting up to that place where I knew that there was nothing beyond that line. And if I crossed that line, it was all over with. Praise the Lord. That's emotions. But God says, I'll take you above and beyond that line. I'll take you so much further, but you got to follow me. You got to connect to me. You got to determine that you're not going backwards, that you're going forward. You will only go where God tells you to go. And when you determine that in yourself, you will overcome every obstacle. Again, it doesn't mean that it instantly falls off of you. It doesn't mean, but you just turn it around. You keep turning it around. Why? Because, listen, God said that you can. And so if we have even an inkling of faith, we know this. If he says that we can, then we can. So even if it feels like we can, we can. I said, even if it feels like we can't, we can. Why? Because God said so. Praise the Lord. But that's why we got to get around each other. That's why this congregation, this morning, what we're doing here today is we're coming together and we are growing faith together. Because you guys are drawing, you guys are hungry, you guys want more. And so other people are receiving it too. And we're coming together and we're looking at one another. And maybe you come into church one day and somebody is down and they're dealing with emotions. That's okay. You don't rebuke them for dealing with emotions. You look at them and you start encouraging them. And you say, brother or sister, we got higher to go. And you're going to come with you. And if you need me to walk with you and hold your arm a little bit, then that's what we'll do. But we're going higher. But I've got to tell you, if you're the brother or sister who's going through something, you have to agree at some point. You can't sit there and say, no, it's always going to be bad. Because if you keep saying it's always going to be bad, it will never, ever, ever. You cannot make it better. It will never get better. It will not get better by refusing what the Word says. And the Word says that what you say matters. The Word says that you say is everything. And if you say it's bad, it will be bad. If you say it's terrible, it will be terrible. If you say you lose, you will never win. You can't. We have to allow the Word to change us. How do we allow it to change us? By deciding up here that the Word is going to change us. Because I'm going to tell you, here's your decision. It is cut and dry, it's simple. No matter what you go through in life, it's cut and dry, it's simple. What you decide is what will be. Period. What you decide, if you say, I'm always broken, you'll live in brokenness. Yep. If you say, I'm always hurting, you'll live in hurt. Yep. If you say, I'm worthless, when God said, you're great. Yep. Yeah. Yep. This was something I was accustomed to doing. Yep. You'd ask my wife. One of my greatest attacks is looking at myself like I'm worthless. And I had to see something different in me. It was only recently that I fully saw this. But I had to determine in myself that what God said about me was more true than what I felt about me. And if I left here and I felt like garbage, it doesn't matter because God has anointed me to do this. And because he has anointed me to do this, he has also made me well able to overcome every obstacle. The greatest attack probably on a pastor is the attack of depression or the attack of the desire to just quit, to give up. The greatest attack. And it's magnified. I'm going to tell you because I've sat on your side and I've sat on this side. I'm going to tell you it's much greater on this side. Because the devil knows one thing and the Word says that if you smite the shepherd, the sheep are scattered. And so what's he do? He pours it on me. Pours it on me. Yeah, you see people, you know what? You deal with people all the time. You deal with people that you love, that you pour into and turn around and hate you. Why? Because they don't like something you said. Because they refuse not to be in emotions and you're not allowed to be. But you see that all the time. And you know what that does? It's like a devil that wants to grab right onto you. Do you realize that? As congregation members, I ain't trying to put you down. I definitely don't want to do that. But I want you to know something. Praise the Lord. When you have those thoughts against your pastor, don't you think for one second I don't know it. Don't you think for one second I don't know it. And don't you think for one second that it doesn't affect me, because it does. It does. Because what it does is you are, instead of releasing faith, what you are doing is you're releasing a devil to come after me. You are saying, you're basically just throwing it at the fire. So that's exactly what that does. So you want to control your emotions? This is a great way to do it. No, when you deal with other, and it's not just me. When you look at your spouse and you have contempt for your spouse, you know what you're doing? You're basically releasing hell at them. You're saying, there you go, devil. Go ahead and have them. That's what you're saying. Listen, if you can't get over that stuff, if you're a spouse and you can't get over that kind of stuff, you don't deserve a spouse. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. God said that you got to love them. You have to esteem them. You have to hold them up high. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. We don't throw anybody under the bus. Amen. Glory to God. But that's exactly what it does. You release. People don't realize that. Glory to God. We have had people in this church. We've had people recently in this church that sit here and listen to me and talk about people that have left, and they still leave, and they never even give me the respect. I have sat here and prayed over them. I have sat here and ministered to them, and they can't even give me the respect to give me a phone call and tell me why they're not going to come anymore, to tell me why they've decided that it's not worth it to them anymore. I'm just going to tell you what. I am over casual Christianity. I'm done with it. If you can be casual about Christianity, then go find a different place to do it. Not here. Praise the Lord. There's boldness of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We need to be real with you. People come in there here and they want help. If you want help, then take your help. Take the Word and run with it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, I don't know how I got all excited today. But we see this. Glory to God. Back there, and I forgot what scripture was in. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. A peacemaker is one who literally lives peaceably. You know what I mean? Who endeavors to live in the peace of God, who endeavors to live good with all people, not by emotion. Amen? Not by emotion. You can get all kinds of emotions. One of the things we tell young kids, young people, teenagers and stuff like that, you got to control your emotions too. Your emotions are going to say, hey, I want to be with so-and-so. I want to be with so-and-so. I want to be with so-and-so. But the truth of the matter is if you follow that through to fruition, guess what happens? Your life will be a wreck. It will be an absolute wreck. Believe me, I know, because I walked part of that life. Amen? Oh, praise the Lord. Fortunately, because I submitted myself to God, that God rescued me from all that. But it said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will, praise the Lord, they shall be called the sons of God. Well, let's turn to Romans 8:14. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, some of you may wonder why the boldness in the preaching. And at different times, there's different levels, and it jumps up and down. No, I'm not bipolar. Hallelujah. But I endeavor to follow the Spirit of God. The boldness of the preaching, what it does, what preaching does, bold preaching does, is that it drives that garbage out because it hits it at the point where it is. It's not, listen, I'm not attacking people. I'm not attacking you. I love all of you. You know that, man. I'll put my arms around. I don't think there's anybody in this room I wouldn't hug. Praise the Lord. You know what I mean? And anybody I wouldn't do anything for. But the boldness of the preaching is to drive that garbage out. So we understand that, you know, you don't put up with stuff that isn't meant for you. We have to drive it out, amen? And plus, here's the thing. I can't be there every second of your life. I can't be there in every day of your life. And you're going to go through things this week. Maybe you're going through something now. This is for you. This is to help you. This is we got to have the boldness. Praise the Lord. The other night I ministered, on a Tuesday night, I ministered over a sister. And this is what I saw in the spirit. I saw like I guess it'd be like a linebacker. I mean, somebody else could tell me. My wife says, it's so funny how much you hate football, and yet God always uses you to use these football illustrations, and I don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm just like, well, I think it's a linebacker. But I saw this, like, you know, when the two teams, and they, when the ball moves and they, you know what I mean? They do what they do. They come at each other, you know, two opposing forces. They're coming. What do they call that? Is there a name for that? Am I doing all right? No, when the two teams, they hit each other, you know, the big guys, they come at each other and they're, what is that? The moment of impact. How about we just do that? The moment of, you know what I'm talking about, amen? Praise the Lord. But somebody on the side that's got the ball and you got the ball, praise the Lord. But somebody on the side has got the ball. They're trying to get through the other side of that, aren't they? But how do they get through the other side? Through force. And that's the exact same thing I saw when I was ministering to the sister. And I thought, man, praise the Lord. That's awesome, because it's kind of stuck with me since then. Listen, we only overcome the obstacles when we decide to go after it like they do. Listen, everybody loves how much money the football players get paid, right? They get paid big bucks. They get the big bucks, right? A lot of them, if they're good. They're effective, they get paid the big bucks, right? And people look at it, man, I wish I had that much money. Well, guess what? Your God's bigger. Yeah. And you got the ball. Yeah. So if you will break through the other side, which he said you can do, the payment's on the other side. Yeah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Romans 8:14, did we find that yet? So we saw, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. These two scriptures don't contradict each other. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, not as many as are led by emotions. If you are led by your emotions, if you walk your day through emotions, if you make your decisions based on emotions, you are not being led by the Spirit of God, and you don't have the things that the Son of God or the child of God has. It is, do we decide that we're going to have it? Because it goes on to say in verse 15, I love this, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. You didn't receive a spirit of bondage that causes fear. You received a spirit of adoption into greater things. A Christian who does not walk out God's plan for their life and the blessings that he's planned for them is solely because they have not realized who they are. They go back to that spirit of fear. Now let's flip over to 2 Timothy 1:6, because we're going to see something in succession here that's very similar again. Praise God, hallelujah. Second Timothy 1:6. Remember, you did not receive the spirit of fear, right? Second Timothy 1:6 and 7. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. But what has he given us a spirit of? Of power and of love and of a sound mind. You ever met somebody who's emotional or overly emotional? Do they look like they have a sound mind? No. You know why they don't look like they have a sound mind? Because they don't. You don't have a sound mind if you don't look like you have a sound mind. If you're acting crazy, Crazy Carl didn't have a sound mind. I'm just saying. You wouldn't be called Crazy Carl if you had a sound mind. Amen? I'm not picking on Carl. I don't know what happened to Carl. I'd love to run into him again. We've had many conversations about God and stuff like that. He was raised Catholic, you know, so he didn't really have much of a relationship with God. It was just what he had from church, you know. That was his knowledge of it. But, he didn't have a sound mind. Well, if you don't look like it, if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, it's probably a duck, yeah. Right? I mean, what did Dad Tony tell us the other day? There it is. Praise the Lord. That it's as simple as that. You see, the Bible is not hard. If it doesn't look like what God says it is, then it ain't God. I said if it doesn't look like what God, if it doesn't look like that blessed, because that blessedness that we read in the beginning, that's God. That's his desire. That's his will for your life. Amen. Again, I'm going to go back and say this. If you're dealing with emotions, I'm not saying you can't feel emotions. There'll be times when you feel sad, and you'll feel sad for an extended period of time. There's people, praise the Lord, there's people that, you know, there's people that, glory to God, just go back to what I was talking about earlier. There's people who left us. I'm still sad about. I hear their names or see pictures of them or something like that, and there's a sadness in me. Does it stop me from going forward? Absolutely not. It will not stop me from going forward. Does it stop me from reaching out to somebody else? Absolutely not, because that's what God has called me to do. He's equipped me to be able to do that. Listen, you can feel it, but just because you feel it doesn't mean you're wrong. But because you're feeling it doesn't mean that you act accordingly. It doesn't mean that you just put down everything, you know, and praise God, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. Well, glory to God. We are in 2 Timothy 1:6 and 7. Amen. Yep. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Again, to bondage, like it said in Romans. Fear causes bondage. What is fear? It's not knowing. You know, fear is essentially that. It's just it's being in terror. It's being like just not knowing. It's just always wondering. It's, you know, all these things. Lost is fear. You know, if you're lost in your mind, I wandered around lost in my mind for years. Depression is being lost. It's not always fear in the sense of, oh, I'm afraid. Sometimes depression is just being lost. I don't know where I belong. I don't know anything anymore. That's same fear. That's fear. That's fear. That's all that is. God has not given us that spirit. How many Christians walk around with that spirit? Why? Because they receive it. What do you mean they receive it? Because when it comes in, they open themselves up to it and accept it as this is who I am. And then they justify it by saying this or saying that. You cannot justify something that is not given to you and be right in doing so. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We do not let emotions or anything that's connected to emotions overcome us. Listen, we have different, you know, we have different things that go in our body, different changes. Praise the Lord. I know that I'm different. I feel different. And not just because of how, but because different things are happening in my body now than they were when I was 20 years old. Amen. But that doesn't mean that guides and praise the Lord, that the feelings that guide and move me. What moves me is the word of God. What moves me is what God said, praise the Lord. about me. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. And so, yeah, so we're there. Yeah, let's go to, now we want to go over to 1 John. We're still going in succession here. 1 John 4:17. Praise God, hallelujah. 1 John 4:17. And then we're going to find out more about this. Look at this, 1 John 4:17. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have what? Boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is victorious, he is alive, he is seated at the right hand of the Father, he is above, not beneath, the devil's under his feet. As he is, hallelujah, as he is, so are we in this world. If you say, I can't get over this, I can't go through this, you know what you're doing? You're siding with the devil. You just said the word isn't true. If you say I'm a loser, just like I did, you're saying the word isn't true. If you're saying that I'm no good, you're saying the word isn't true. If you're saying I can't, you're saying the word isn't true. If you're saying I will never, you're saying the word isn't true. If you're saying that I'm so defeated, the word isn't true. If you're allowing those thoughts of defeat to control your life, you're saying the word isn't true. Praise the Lord. We need to go back to the basics then, don't we? Amen? Praise the Lord. As he is, so are we in this world. He perfected the love. We didn't. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. And so if you are fear, if you're in that place of unstable, if you're in that place of emotional chaos, what you are is you're allowing yourself to not be perfected in his love. What do you need to do? Go back to the word. You need to go back to the word and say, well, you know what? I need to fortify in this area. I need to fortify in this area. A lot of people just give up. I always was like that too. I'd be a Christian, just give up. Okay, it feels like garbage again. I just give up. No, you don't just give up. You go back to the word and fortify yourself. Why? This is why it's important to know your word and to get your Bible, because if you don't know, if you can't do that, if you can't find one scripture to help you, child of God, you got to question where you're at. You got to question how much you're connecting to what's being preached, because if you've been here for more than a month, dear Lord, we've given you enough scripture to conquer life. Praise the Lord. And if you can't figure out any scripture, you need to pay more attention at church. You need to write some things down. You maybe need to get on those archives that we have on the website and go back and listen to something and get stirred up again and go back and say, wait a minute, you got to see who you are. Because if you are going to allow the circumstances around you to manipulate you and control the way you think, they will manipulate and control the way you live.
That's right.
Yes, there is no other way. People want the power of God. It's found in the word of God. People want the power of God. They want the change. It's found right here. The decision is right here. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, because he told you you could. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, Jesus told us that without faith, nothing is impossible. If you can believe, all things are possible, he said. That's another thing he said. Different way, same thing. If you can believe, if you can trust, you'll get there. Praise the Lord. But if you can't, if you won't, I should say, then you won't. It's not about you can't. I'm just going to tell you this right now. That word can't is a dirty, dirty, nasty word. It's worse than the F word. I'm just telling you the truth. It's a bad word, because can't keeps you out of faith, and keeping you out of faith keeps you out of the blessing of God. Praise the Lord. And can't is like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Can't keeps you where can't is. The only way to get away from can't is by doing and by deciding that can't isn't a word that applies to you. You are born again. If we got a born-again person in here, if you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, can't, at that moment, can't, stopped applying to you. Unless you, of course, apply it to yourself. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And that's just the way it is. It's the truth of the word. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, now we're going to go to another place. Now let's go to Mark 6, 31. Praise God, hallelujah. Getting help here?
Yes.
Yep, amen. Mark 6:31. Praise God. Hallelujah. Mark 6, 31. 32. And he said, Jesus said to them, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and what? Rest a while. For there are many coming and going, and they did not have time to eat, even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in a boat by themselves. Such wonderful, wonderful instruction here. And this is maybe one of the number one reasons that emotions overtake people is because they don't practice the law of rest. Come away, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place. These guys were all doing the will of God. They were doing the work of the Lord. And Jesus, they came back and they were excited. Lord, look all the stuff we did. Praise the Lord. We've been doing some awesome things. Been out there and casting this devil out and healing this sickness and doing this and doing that. And he said, okay, come aside by yourselves. Yeah. This society has trained us to go, 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 go. And in that, what the problem with that is we are failing. Remember, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. When you are busy in your mind, when you're busy, 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 all your mind's just going, going, going. I got to go to this, and I got to go to that, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. Listen, I'm talking to folks in here. I know I am. I'm talking to folks who are emotional in here, and I know that I am. And I'm just going to tell you right now that this is the reason why you're not seeing breakthrough. This is the reason you're not seeing victory, because you're not taking the time to reflect to him and say, wait a minute, Lord, what's your direction? Oh, I got so, you know, Charles Finney, great revivalist in this area, he had an awesome statement. I'm still putting it to practice, working at it. He said, I have so much to do today. He said, I woke up and spent the first 4 hours in prayer, or something to that nature is what he said. I had so much to do today. I spent the first 4 hours in prayer. Wow. Yeah, praise the Lord. What was he doing? He was seeking God. Why was his ministry effective? He sought God. See, this is the problem. Listen, guys, I'm just telling you right here. Just if you only think naturally, you will only ever have what natural thinking gets you, and it's not very much. It's not much. You know what happens to your body, naturally speaking? It dies. You know what's happening to your body right here? I'm just going to tell you all right now. You know what's happening to your body right now? It's dying. Yeah, it's heading that way. You know what, 10 years from now, you probably won't be as strong as you were 10 years ago. Naturally speaking, I'm talking about according to nature. But what does God do? What does the Spirit of the Lord do? He preserves us. He keeps us. Hallelujah. You know, a Christian does not have to die in pain. They don't have to die in torment. That's not the way. Praise God. Hallelujah. Dr. Matthews was the last church that Dr. Summerall, if you don't know him, he was a mighty man of God. But he was the last church that Dr. Summerall ministered in. Praise the Lord. He's sending us that message, by the way. Praise God, hallelujah. That's a cookie jar. Praise the Lord. But he said that when he got on his plane that day to leave him, he said it was different than every other time he said goodbye. He said he called him up to the top of the plane and he embraced him. And I'm not going to go into all that he told us, but he just basically, you know, he shared things. And Dr. Matthews was sharing it with us, you know, emotionally, and just because it meant something to him, because he took that extra moment and to say goodbye to him. And his pilot later told him that he walked onto that plane and he turned to his pilot and he said, to the nature of, I'm going home, I finished my race. Yeah, he said, write this down. He said, I'm going home, I finished my race, I completed my course. He said, I'm going to get my reward. And it was in a short time later, he stepped over. Brother Hagin said that he was going to go in the morning after a good breakfast. And they literally said that he was sitting there at his breakfast table. He had, I think it was strawberries or something like that, and just smiled. Later, put his head down, and he was gone. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And there's many other stories like that. These are men of faith. Amen. Of course, we can be there as well. We understand. We have a course to run. Devil can't take us out early. Not unless you allow him. But listen, there's too many Christians that live just guided by the natural. Oh, when it comes, it comes. And then they say stupid things like, oh, God came and took. No, God didn't come take you home. No, God will receive you into, you know, even if you go out stupid, God will receive you into his glory. Amen. And I'm not trying to make light of it here, but I'm just telling you, we have to understand something, that is a, death to a Christian is a transition. It's a step over into something better. It's not sad. it might be sad on us because we'll miss people or whatever, but you know, that's not something that is meant to, it's not sad to them. They certainly wouldn't come back. Well, praise the Lord. And so we need to look at it that way. We need to understand it that way because these things are things that drive people. How many people, I know, I don't know about you, but throughout my life, I was so afraid of dying. I was so fearful of dying. I'm not afraid of it anymore. I'm not going yet. And it's going to be a while before I go. Amen. But my point to saying that is that that's a fear that grips people and controls people. And it's not meant to. Praise the Lord. It will keep people. It kept me from doing things because I was afraid of, well, if I do this. You know, some people won't fly because they're afraid of the plane. Well, that's foolishness. Follow your spirit and you'll know if the plane's going to crash or not. Yeah, absolutely. You get on a plane, you'll know if it's going to crash or not if you follow your spirit. But if you don't follow the spirit, then I guess you could be afraid of it, you know. Praise the Lord. And so we see this. Now I want to go to another area. We've got a few minutes left here. Praise the Lord. Mark 1:35, this is something he just brought me here one morning, and dear Lord, he's been giving me so much out of this. Mark 1:35 through 38. Now look at this. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. This is Jesus. So now in the morning, I highlighted this in my Bible. You do whatever you want, but I just thought it was important. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed into a solitary place, solitary place, solitary place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." Kind of sound a little bit surprised. Like, where you been, man? Right? But he said, look how he responds. But he said to him, "Let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth." Now, you might say, what does this have to do with emotions? Well, this was the habit of Jesus. Now, let me throw this caveat out here. I am not telling you you have to rise up at 3 in the morning and pray for the next 4 hours. That's not what I'm telling you. If that's your flow, that's what you need to do, then that's what you need to do. What I am telling you is this. This is the principle that God is placing here. That Jesus, the reason he was effective was not because he had the power of God floating around him and angels and all this stuff. The reason he was effective is because the first thing he did before he did anything was sought the Lord at what he should do. And when he did it, his day was effective. He knew exactly what he was going to do that day. He knew exactly how it was going to be. And he knew it was going to be effective. And so that doesn't mean that he knew every second of everything. But he knew that he had the direction for the day. And as he walked out through his day, he was led by the Spirit. Oh, go to this town. Go to that town. Oh, there's a person over here. Lay hands on them. There's a person over here. Don't lay hands on them. Yeah. Some people you don't witness to. Some people you don't lay hands on. Why? Because some people won't receive it. But you don't determine that. You got to follow the Spirit. But see, this is the problem, is that people, they wake up in a rush. And then they start the day in a rush. And then they go out into the world in a rush. And then they rush, 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 rush all through the day. And they get home at night and they crash. And then they burn. And they go to sleep. And they wake up the next day and they're in a rush. And they go rush, 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 rush all day long. They don't seek God. If that's your life, you ain't seeking God. I'm just telling you, I don't care how many good thoughts you have a day. If that's your life, you are not seeking God. We need to wake up. We need to, I'm not saying that we all, it would be beneficial to seek God the first thing in the morning. God has dealt with me this, I can't tell you how many times, about seeking him first. Wake up 15 minutes early if you start there and start seeking God. Lord, order my steps for today. But see, this is the problem. Most people don't know. They don't know. They have to ask the direction of God because they don't know the direction of God because they don't seek it themselves. We need to know the direction of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. We need to know what it is for our lives. This is why Jesus was effective. Jesus lived here as a man full of the Holy Ghost. He did not live here as God with God power. He lived here as a man full of the Holy Ghost. You live here as a man or a woman full of the Holy Ghost. And I don't say that lightly, you know, like I'm not saying or a woman. I'm saying that mankind, hallelujah, we live here as mankind, should be full of the Holy Ghost. We have the same ability. That's why he said, the things I do, you'll do. And greater things. Yeah, why did he say that? Because he said, if you follow the Holy Ghost, you'll have the same effect. Praise the Lord, hallelujah. Listen, if you're living in trial over and over and over again, you have to decide you want to be done with the trial. And until you're done with the trial in your heart, you'll keep going through the trial. But rest assured that the trial is not on you because God put it on you. religious teaching teaches us that, and that's a lie from the pit of hell. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He knew the purpose that he had come forth. Know your purpose in the day. Again, I'm not telling you that you have to have 4 hours of devotional starting from 3 to 7 in the morning, and then you can go. No, I'm not saying that. But you just start making the adjustments now. You start making adjustments. If you did it none, well, 5 minutes is better than none. Start there. Praise the Lord. I wouldn't stay at 5 minutes forever. If you stay at 5 minutes forever, then you'll have 5 minute faith forever. Yeah, absolutely. So what do you want to do? You start with 5 minutes. And then when you get going good on that and you start seeing the goodness of God, you'll want more time. Amen. Praise the Lord. I've gotten to the habit where I just keep going back to him, Lord, order my day, because I certainly can't do it. And listen, even if you're super organized, you can't do it either. Not like he can. Colossians, we're going to close here, Colossians 3. Praise the Lord. We are not going to be controlled by things that are not meant to control us. We're not going to do it. Again, I hope you understand. I am not being callous to your situation, what you're going through. I get it. But listen, if I'm sitting here and every time, you know, there's a situation and somebody going through something in the church and I just sit there and, oh, there. It might make you feel better in the minute, but guess what? A week from now, you still have the same problem. A month from now, you'll still have the same problem. A year from now, you'll be still looking the same. That's why I sat in churches year after year after year and had people just, oh, there. And I never went anywhere. It wasn't until the word got preached to me and somebody had boldness to say, hey, this is the truth. What you think isn't the truth, but this is the truth. And if you follow it, you'll get to where you want to go. Guess what? That exact thing has happened. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Boldness is what we need. We need somebody to say, listen, let's go into it, man. Let's go get it. Let's get after it. Praise the Lord. Colossians 3:1. 3:1-2. This is where we're closing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If then you were raised with Christ, ask yourself the first question. What is that? If I was raised with Christ, am I raised with Christ? If you can't answer that with an absolute surety, well, come talk to us. We'll tell you how. Amen? We do a prayer at the end of service. That's how you know. Amen? But we can pray it with you elsewhere too. If you were raised with Christ, here's your instruction. Seek. Remember, we've talked about seek a lot in recent times. Knock, seek, and find. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Or ask, praise the Lord, I'm just throwing them out there. But we know that seeking is something that it's something that you're after, it's something you seek, that you come back time and time and time and time and time. Praise the Lord. Seek those things that are above. What does that mean? When you're feeling below, when you're feeling knocked down, when you're feeling destroyed, start seeking something different. Unless you want to stay there. If you want to stay in depression, focus on depression. If you want to stay in sadness, focus on sadness. That's what it is. You know, when I was sitting on a bar stool and I wanted to kill myself, I'm going to tell you what I did. I went back to that jukebox and I put in a quarter after quarter after quarter and I kept playing the same song, and it was singing about suicide. It was singing about killing yourself and taking your own life, and I kept playing it and playing it. Why? Because it was feeding it. That's where I was trapped. I was trapped in that cycle, and I didn't know that it was that kept me there. Yeah. It was my own decision. It was the thing that I focused on. It was what I put. That's why I listened to depressed music. Yeah. That's why music can be real garbage in the mind of a believer and unbeliever. I was saved at that time. Sitting on a bar stool listening to that garbage. And what was I doing? I was pumping myself full of it. And that's where I lived. If you want to stay sad, focus on sadness. But don't come looking for victory, because you ain't going to get it. If you want to stay depressed, stay focused on depression. If you want to stay always up and down, emotional, up and down, then focus on your emotions. But if you want victory, seek those things that are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of the Father. Why? Because the Bible says that that's where he sat you. Yeah. He said he sat you next to Christ. Yeah. So what's your focus? Where's your vision? Your vision's got to be there. What's that? It's victory. Yeah. It's the winning. It's always the overcoming. It's not, listen, the more that we focus on the not overcoming, that is not seeking him. That is not seeking heaven. That is not seeking things above. That's seeking where you're at. Listen, when you are where you're at, when where you're at stinks and you want to get out of the stink, there is one way to do it, and that's to get your focus on something that's higher so you can be lifted up out of that. Because you're not going to get it by wandering around in it. Right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, Set your mind. Set it like concrete. You know, when concrete sets, it's hard. When it's soft, when it's wet, it's fluid. It moves around, and that's the way a lot of Christians are. But we're going to be Christians that are set. Set your mind. Put it like concrete. Get that image in your head. Think about a concrete stand. That's where I am. I'm set, and I can't be moved. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, they put concrete, and they'll pour concrete piers out in the lake. They got concrete piers holding that bridge up. Praise the Lord. And they stay, and they stay, and they stay. Why? They are set. Doesn't matter what kind of wind blows. It doesn't kind of matter what kind of ice is formed on the lake, and it breaks and pulls and does all these other things. It will move docks and other things that are lesser around, but those piers stay strong all the time. Why? They are set. And this is exactly what we are supposed to be as Christians. We have to set our minds on something bigger. We got to set our minds on something higher. We got to set our minds on something stronger, because we are not strong in and of ourselves. Amen. Praise the Lord. Set your minds on things above, not on the things of the earth. Praise the Lord. We set our mind. How do you get out of depression? You set your minds on things above. How do you get out of I can't? You set your mind on things above. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. Why does it say that there? Because he is able. But just saying he is able doesn't mean it's going to happen, does it? What's the disconnect or the connect? It's us. It's our desire. It's where we've set ourselves. Do you see yourself seated in heavenly places with Christ? Or do you see yourself weak and broken on the earth? Choose. Life or death. That's what it is. It's up to us. We're going to choose life. Amen.